Many, many meetings, but as of yet, no decision. The president met with his defense secretary, Robert Gates, yesterday. Here's a bit of Gates speaking on CNN.
The reality is that because of our inability and the inability, frankly, of our allies to put enough troops into Afghanistan, the Taliban do have the momentum right now, it seems.
Robert Gates talking about the Taliban in Afghanistan and apparently the request on the table from General Stanley McChrystal for more troops in Afghanistan. What will the president decide? Well, all week long we are looking at the Afghanistan conflict 8 years after the U.S. began the war there. Of course, fighting in Afghanistan has gone on for many, many decades. And we begin our coverage this week of the passing of this 8-year milestone with our coverage of the assault last Saturday, which overwhelmed the U.S. military outpost in the Nuristan province of Afghanistan. 8 soldiers were left dead, U.S. soldiers. Many more were wounded. It was the deadliest single day of combat in the war so far, underscoring the need for decisive action from the president in the weeks ahead. There's no word on the exact identities of the 8 U.S. soldiers who were killed, but they all come from the 4th Brigade of the 4th Infantry Division of the Army. And yesterday we spoke with Major T.G. Taylor, who's a Brigade Task Force Mountain Warrior who's part of the International Security Assistance Force, ISAF, in Jalalabad in eastern Afghanistan. His base is just about 40 miles from the outpost that was attacked. I first asked the major to describe the events on the ground as he understood them.
In the early morning hours of Saturday, local militia fighters in Nuristan province took over a mosque in the Kandesh district near ISAF combat outpost. From the mosque, they then attacked the outpost, but ISAF soldiers, along with their Afghan counterparts, were able to repel the attack.
Now, you know, we were under the understanding, and there were early reports that suggested that the Taliban were behind this attack. But if this is a attack by local militia, first of all, how unusual is that? And are local militia behaving as though the U.S. is more of an occupation force than a nation-building force, as the campaign at least originally has been described?
Well, I can tell you when I say a local militia force, it's not necessarily an organization like we might think of in the United States where they might have a card or a website or something like that. A local militia means generally they're local people who have picked up arms. And generally speaking, local fighters will, you know, if paid to do so, would pick up arms. You know, this is a very poor country, and in some places, you know, people will do whatever is required to put food on their tables. I wouldn't necessarily refute claims that this was connected in some way to Taliban or al-Qaeda at some very, very high level. What I can tell you is that our troops on the ground saw local fighters.
You know, this is not the first time that one of these isolated outposts has been attacked. There have been other deadly attacks on these places, and General Stanley McChrystal wants to pull the U.S. forces back to the larger population areas, to the larger cities. I'm wondering if you agree with that proposal from General McChrystal. Is it impossible to keep our U.S. soldiers safe in these isolated areas?
I can tell you that General McChrystal's idea has nothing to do with keeping soldiers safe in those outposts. It has nothing to do with that. What it is it's about counterinsurgency doctrine. Counterinsurgency doctrine calls for soldiers to secure population areas so that we can build the will of the people to defeat the insurgency and separate the people from the insurgents and connect the people with their government.
But, Major, the one problem with that is if you're following the counterinsurgency doctrine and local fighters are simply able to be paid to turn and become al-Qaeda fighters to attack this outpost with such grim results, it means the sort of hearts and minds battle is really, really difficult, no matter what you do with the troops.
Well, I can tell you that winning people over, which is what we need to do here, is win people over. It's hard no matter where you are. There is a culture which connects to, in some ways, to Taliban. They understand the thinking that Taliban have. They have a common religion.
Major, I hear a certain amount of frustration in your voice, and I totally agree with what you're saying there. I'm just wondering, you know, given this debate that's going on in the United States about what to do next in Afghanistan, what tools do you need to separate those local people from the insurgents?
What we need to do is to have our soldiers make moves to be able to better protect the population.
And do you feel you're better able to do that with more troops?
I couldn't comment one way or another. I could tell you that in the population centers in our area, we have had very good success so far in areas such as Jalalabad. And we're spreading that success, starting building from a place of strength in a successful city like Jalalabad, and spreading that into the less populated areas from there.
Well, sobering challenges, and here's a sobering takeaway. 8 years after sending the first troops to Afghanistan, apparently local militias are merely an Al-Qaeda paycheck away from turning on U.S. and NATO forces. Major T.G. Taylor is deployed with Task Force Mountain Warrior, a part of ISAF force in Jalalabad, eastern Afghanistan, about 40 miles from the outpost attacked on Saturday. Thanks to him for being with us. And again, we're commemorating 8 years in Afghanistan.
And all this week, we're going to bring you more takes on the war in Afghanistan and its progress. But we want to know how it's affected you and your family. Tell us your story. What's going on in your home? Have you served overseas? Is someone in your family serving in Afghanistan? And where do you think we should be by this time next year? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or sending us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.